Welcome to Water Online Radio, broadcasting live from Chicago, Illinois, and WEFTEC, the Water Quality Event. This show is brought to you by WaterOnline.com, enabling water and wastewater professionals to make informed decisions. WaterOnline.com. Now that's clear. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Todd and Todd and Water Online Radio. Thanks for joining us. This is day two of Water Online's live coverage of WEFTEC. And Todd, I just continue to be blown away and surprised and pleased and learning so much from the people, the organizations, and the innovation we just continue to have run through this show.
Yeah, and as I've looked at the traffic at our neighboring booth here for the last day and a half, something's going on over there. So I'm glad we've got somebody to come visit us.
Our next guest is a neighboring booth to us here at WEFTEC. And that place is always has standing room only. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Say hello to Tim Fallon. He's a product manager with the Henry Pratt Company. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us. Tim, before we get into a conversation, take a quick sec. Tell us a little bit about you and your background.
I'm the product manager over at the Henry Pratt Company. I've been employed with Henry Pratt for about 17 years. Started off on the shop floor and worked my way up through the ranks. Now I'm in the marketing and sales area at the Henry Pratt Company.
Outstanding. Well, give us a 10,000-foot view of the Henry Pratt Company. What do you do? How do you serve your market?
We're a manufacturer of flow control equipment for municipal water, fire protection, hydro. We try to get into all markets water-related. They're where flow control is really necessary to enable the end user to provide efficient method of controlling flow, controlling water.
Tim, let's get right down into the weeds here and talk about the typical kind of application where a plug valve's more appropriate than some other kind of isolation valve.
Plug valve comes into play when we're dealing with a media that has a lot of solids, high solids. Might be stringy material where another type of valve like a butterfly valve would not be appropriate because the solids would get caught up on the disc, start to foul up the valve. The plug valve is a ported valve, full port, so that solids can easily pass through the valve without any type of fouling.
All right, walk us through what engineering or design attributes should a design engineer declare when writing specification language for a plug valve.
Okay. Well, plug valve is pretty much a standard valve in the water industry, but sometimes we see a little bit of confusion coming about with another type of valve, whether it be a ball valve or a plug valve. There's other types of plug valves, like a lubricated plug valve, which is used in oil and gas. We'll see that come into play, and we know that the application is going to be for a raw sewage application, and we know that was a misinterpretation of what you're looking for. The plug valve itself, it's going to last a long, long time if it's built right. So we look at attributes like a nickel seat where the corrosion isn't going to play into the life of the valve. A rubber face with primarily a Buna elastomer is best for most applications involving sewer applications. Ductile iron or cast iron valve body is very good. We would want to really specify ductile iron because of the yield property in the ductile versus cast iron. Also, looking at the plug, we would want to specify ductile iron on the plug. Cast iron, it will fail over time if it's over torqued. So we get into the offices of the consulting engineers, help them specify the product and not write a specification around our valve and make it proprietary, just so everybody can bid into it is really what we want to do. I know there's some folks out there that like to write proprietary, especially one physical attribute that they have solely on their design that nobody else has, and they'll try to wrap up a spec right around that, and that's first of all, it's not fair, and the engineer doesn't know any different either. So they just take the word of the engineer that came in, the sales engineer, and say, well, that sounds good to me. I'll write that. Unbeknownst to them, they don't know that is just unique to that one brand. So we try to open it up and make it worthy of use for make the spec worthy for everybody out there who has a valve, plug valve.
Tim, I need some help with definitions, and beyond the definition of the terms I'm going to throw out here, why? What are the pluses and minuses and differences and considerations surrounding full port, 100% port, round, rectangular?
Yeah, the plug valve has a bunch of different port shapes. Like you said, round port, rectangular port, it could be a square port. The port shape really doesn't play into the efficiency of the valve. Really, it was just a one take on the valve design. Instead, what you should really focus on, if I was a consulting engineer, it would be the efficiency of the valve, or as measured, the C:V, the efficiency of the flow. In our industry, we have a measurement of how efficient a valve is, and that's the CV value of that valve. The higher the CV, which is gallons per minute, you know, with one PSI of pressure drop across the valve, the higher that value is, the more efficient the valve can be, which means that less pumping costs will be seen because you're putting flow across that valve with less impedance across that. So to get into a port shape is really doesn't make any sense. What the engineer should really be focusing on is what is the efficiency of the valve or the CV value of the valve. Let the port shape go. Just focus on the true physical attribute that can be measurable and understood once that valve gets in line. Because the number one accounts payable aspect that water treatment plants have is the electric cost to pump water. And you have these impedances in the line, such as like the isolation valves or check valves. These all create head loss in the line and physical impedances which require more pumping to occur. So instead, look at the CV value and base your choice of what is the best valve for the application on that.
All right, if you're just tuning in, this is Water Online Radio Live, and we're speaking with Tim Fallon with the Henry Pratt Company. Tim, walk us through some different types of shaft seals and walk us through how they ensure a leak-tight seal.
Okay, the valve has got a shaft that penetrates through the top of the valve body, and it has to be sealed off. Some approaches are standard O-rings or what you call chevron packing, which is a multi-layer type of self-sealing seal, or you have a braided packing, which needs to have some type of follower on it to create a seal between the shaft and the top of the valve body. What we have found that's most effective, number one is the chevron style packing. It's self-energizing, so when the water pressure comes up in the valve, the chevron will compress against the shaft seal and the valve body, creating a leak tight seal at that point. O-rings are good too, but they're often prone to damage. If you take the valve apart, you won't know the valve is not going to leak until you actually put it under pressure, and that's a little too late in the game to find that out. The live packing or the braided packing, that's okay, but you have to compress it down. And the method of compressing it down with a gland follower is you have a couple threaded studs with nuts, and you tighten down the nuts, and it presses down on the gland follower. That approach can really go away in time because of the fact that it's threaded rod, it's subject to corrosion. And if that were to not be able to be adjusted anymore, now you've lost your ability to seal at the shaft. So I think the best approach is using chevron seals. There's no need to tighten them down. They're self-energizing, and they'll last a long, long time.
Well, when you say a long time, I mean, how often does replacement need to be done?
Depending on the severity, temperature plays a big role in that. I would say you can have a valve in the ground, buried service application, and it will, the shaft seals will stay sound for, gosh, 20, 25 years without any kind of need to replace them. Now, if you got a valve that you're operating on a daily basis, 1, 2, 3 times a day or something on that higher frequency, you might need to look at shaft seal replacement maybe every 5, 10 years. But they're built to last. Depending on the type of compound you're using at that point, either, you know, like a Buna N material or EPDM material for applications that are evolving high heat, that's the best approach to use those, and you'll be satisfied with that because of the fact that you won't need to constantly be having to change them.
That's always a good thing. Tim, I hate to say it, but we're about out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, and where can they learn more about the Henry Pratt Company?
Well, they can email me at first initial last name, T. Fallon, that's T-F-A-L-L-O-N, at Henry Pratt, which is one word, H-E-N-R-Y-P-R-A-T-T.com. Or they could call me up at the Henry Pratt Company. My phone number is area code 630-844-4089.
Tim Fallon, product manager at Henry Pratt Company. Tim, it was great to see you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
And say hello to Uncle Den.
Will do.
Okay. That wraps this segment. On behalf of our guest, Tim Fallon, my co-host, Todd Youngblood, and all of us at Water Online, I'm Todd Schnick. Stick around for another exciting conversation. Water Online Radio. We'll be right back.